Hey, everybody, before we get to today's episode on New Year's Evil, where we are welcoming in special guest Stuart Wellington of the Flophouse, just want to let you know that before this year ends, we got to tell you about at least one show that's happening in the new year. That's right. We are ready to announce our first digital live experience of the year happening in January. So get ready for this, folks. Write this information down. You're not going to want to miss this one. Thursday, January 30th, 9 p.m. Eastern, we are going to be live talking about, that's right, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Now, this was a movie last year written and directed by Jason Reitman and Gil Keenan, and it's the continuation of that story from Afterlife. But at least we're back in New York City, folks. I have to say that. We are back in New York City. Let's say some good things about the movie. Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson, I think, really great in the movie. McKenna Grace. Also great, again, as this role of Phoebe Spangler here. Other stuff, we'll get into it on the show. But you're going to go to moment.co/WeHateMovies, where the early bird tickets are up right now, y'all. They are there. We are doing the show 9 p.m. Eastern live. And then, yes, the after party Q&A is happening, as always. If you don't know what that is, we do an extra hour after the show we've just done where we take questions from the audience, questions from patrons that have written in at the point of ticket sale or whatever. And we just kind of like vamp, riff, tell stories, you know, make some more jokes. It's a lot of fun. Folks really enjoy it. And here's the cool thing. If you are a Patreon subscriber at the $8 or $10 levels, you can bundle in your extra ticket for the after party Q&A totally gratis. That's absolutely free. You just have to make sure that your Patreon account is linked to Moment. And to do that, I'm sure they tell you on the interface. What I'm getting at here is don't ask us. That's a question for Moment, possibly a question for Patreon, but try Moment. Because if you're like, hey, Andrew, Steve, Eric, and Chris, how do I link my Moment account to my Patreon account? We're not going to be able to help out. But the great people at Moment hopefully will. So that's right. Moment.co/WeHateMovies. We're talking Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a great way to kick off all the shows, both virtual and live, that we will be doing in the new year. So that's it for now. Get those early bird ticks. You don't want to snooze on that. Moment.co/WeHateMovies. Now, that's right. Let's sit down, gather around. The ball's going to drop just a few hours from now. But in the meantime, here's us talking about New Year's Evil with the Flophouse's own Stuart Wellington. Enjoy and Happy New Year, y'all.
Cool, man. Woohoo!
This week on the program, it's a holiday slasher that's counting down to kill night. It's New Year's Evil. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sidak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Stuart Wellington.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the fine program, as always. Welcome to the final episode of 2024. And we thought, hey, what a way to send out this shitty year with bringing on a most righteous individual, our guest today. You know him from the very funny Flophouse podcast. It's Mr. Stuart Wellington.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I normally am on a podcast where we watch a bad movie and talk about it. And today I'm on a podcast where we watched a great movie and we're loving it.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Okay. Hell yeah. Total classic. This is New Year's Evil from 1980, directed by Emmett Alston. Now, peep this filmography, fellas. This dude, not a lot of directorial efforts, but a lot of ninja related stuff.
Thank God.
First up, though, get this, prick up yours for this one. Three-way weekend. As far as I could tell, no ninjas in that one, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Maybe. You never know.
They might have been there. They might have been watching.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah, peeping ninjas. And training. Then Nine Deaths of the Ninja.
Which, I've seen that one. Yes, me too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've seen that one.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's a show, Kashugi, and he's saving some school kids or something.
Oh, perfect. Like, all right.
Either so drug dealers or terrorists. I forget which one. Or
but both. If you got show Kashugi in there, it's immediately more of a legitimate ninja movie than not.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Tiger Shark, which that's 50-50 on whether or not there's a ninja in there. Force of the Ninja, pretty sure.
Maybe.
Demon Warp with George Kennedy, which is an amazing movie, okay. Where yes. he's convinced Bigfoot has murdered his daughter, and he tries uh-huh. to warn a bunch of horny teens about it, all while wearing a comical bucket hat.
Well, I like the idea that he was convinced. The way you say it, it sounds like Bigfoot didn't do it, and Bigfoot was framed.
But yet,
like,
yes, you know, not to spoil anything, but yes, that's sort of the thing. Yes, okay. Yes. Bigfoot was set up by George Kennedy, and someone else killed his daughter.
Wow, okay. Yep.
Spoiler alert, aliens.
It's aliens.
Oh, wow. It's aliens. Oh, and then a movie called Little Ninjas, which again, I assume.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You would have to think. Are none of these, are any of these under the auspices of canon films? Are any of these under the
You know,
label?
That's a great question. You could go either way, especially with stuff. You know, they didn't meet a ninja script they didn't love. So
that's what really sold me on this from the outset. I was like, well, it's a canon motion picture. That is the staple of quality in my house.
Sure.
Yeah, you got the two. You got the two G's right up front, Golan and Globus in this economy.
Absolutely. Dude, total sign of quality, man.
This is my annual telling everybody who listens to this program to go watch Electric Boogaloo, one of the best
documentaries
ever made about canon films. It is unfreaking. I wish there was a documentary like this about every movie studio ever. I really do.
I just want to let you know that occasionally on this show, we're just going to stop everything to talk about the IMDb. It's going to happen at least four times.
Okay. Yeah.
Trivia. Just notably the trivia section, which, I don't know, you're an old podhead yourself. You've been looking at the IMDb for a long time. You've noticed a dip in quality, haven't you? Like, it used to be reliable, and now it's just not.
Yeah. It's Google, just Google messing with the internet. You guys are talking before the show about how much your best buddy Elon Musk has been gonna fix the internet.
Yep.
We cannot wait.
I love you guys.
Yeah.
The trivia reads, while Mannheim Golan and Yoram Globus are credited as producers, Billy Fine as executive producer, Ed Billy Fine as executive producer, it was really Christopher Pierce who handled the bulk of the production duties. Does anyone think that, like, Golan and Globus were like, oh no, this shot needs to be on schedule? Like, no, they've always just been doing coke and writing checks. That's all their productions were.
I would wager, though, on the other side of that, Steve, that last guy that was claiming he did all the work, that's a fake person. Okay, that was for tax purposes, they created an individual.
That was Globus for sure. That was another Globus, and he just had that up there.
And he's got 10 dependents, and that's why he doesn't have to pay taxes.
Important. Well, it's like how every Neil Breen movie, the credits list all these NBs. Yes. All these, anybody whose name begins with N or B is Neil Breen in disguise. Yeah. Like the,
He's a genius. Anybody's first rodeo with this movie, Stu? What's your history with this movie?
This is my first time. Yeah.
First timer. Okay.
Me too, Steve, as well. Yeah, I've never seen this. I really enjoyed it. I the song alone.
Oh my god!
To again to get me in this New Year's Evil mood is just so good.
It's a banger by what, the band Shadow? Is that
Shadow?
Shadow, yeah. Which is great because this song is on Apple Music, but this happens. I don't know if this happens on Spotify a lot, but on Apple Music, this will happen where it's like if you're just like trying to find some obscure person who did like the song from New Year's Evil. If their group name or whatever is also the name of another artist, they just lump this nothing song in with the other artist. So there's a rapper just called Shadow.
Yeah, of course.
And when you go to Shadow's Apple Music page, it's like a bunch of hip hop records and then just the single for New Year's Eve.
So is he cashing checks that should be going to this other Shadow?
Oh, yeah, dude. The fucking 1/20th of a cent that he gets for every 100 streams of New Year's Evil or whatever. Yeah.
Now that there's a 4K restoration of it, I mean, he might be looking for them checks. You never know. I'm sorry. I am more of a Dumb Blondes fan. I think that's really
right.
The banger.
Dumb Blondes is a great song. I love the beginning. The cold open is basically, we now join the Substance third act already in progress. Like, basically, it is exactly that, except for all the body horror.
You also, dude, one of the eeriest things in this movie, right from that establishing shot of Los Angeles, it sort of does like a little bit of a gentle zoom in to where, like, I think we're supposed to be, you know, believing that this, New Year's Eve special is being filmed and all the action is taking place in a seedy 1980 Los Angeles Holiday Inn. Look out for that old green Holiday Inn sign. Ooh, terrifying. I could smell the bed bugs from here.
I do like the opening when we're showing the city that there's these wild youth. They're just piled into this convertible. It looks like they're going to fall out. There's, of course, van culture still happening. It's 1980, so we get some breasts flashed from a van. Usually nowadays, it's a penis that flashes from a van.
Yeah. Now that woke Hollywood's in charge, there's nobody surfing on top of vans. That would have been horrible. Thousands of deaths were caused by that.
Are any of them trying to make a living off of making videos of themselves living in the van and pissing and shitting and showering in the van?
I hope so. And then one obviously is going to kill their girlfriend and run away and then die. I forget how did that guy go?
That sounds like it, Eric. I think you got it. I mean, but there are many people, not just killers, who are into the van life. Although, you know, undiscovered, plenty undiscovered.
But the cold open, it's Blaze. We meet our heroine, Roz Kelly, as Blaze.
Pinky Tuscadero, dude.
Yes. Big Happy Days, dude, Stuart, or not so much?
I mean, it was the exciting tidbit of information I got to share with my wife, who is a little bit older than me and was very excited.
There you go. Hell yeah, dude. Look, honey, the Fonz's girlfriend is in this movie.
Yeah. She's like, what are you watching? Is it done yet? I'm like, no, it just started.
Honey, you wouldn't believe it. I have something to talk about. Come on over here.
She's like, what streaming service are you watching this on? I'm like, it's ScreenFlix or something.
Yes. Oh, dude. Yeah, this little minor miracle known as ScreenPix or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like I said earlier, I mean, Steve, you apparently have been hip to this for a while, but like this service is kind of like a peek into another dimension where it's like pretty much exactly like this Earth, but like they've just made different movies with the same actors we know. I'm looking at stuff in here and I'm like, what is this? Robert De Niro's playing an illiterate line cook and some babe's teaching him to read.
It sounds like a secret Tubi, like another level.
Yes.
Below. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Tubi's too mainstream, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my wife and I, whenever we want pure, because we've been hip to this for like a couple of months now, or maybe even a full year, whenever we want pure shit to watch on a Friday or Saturday night, it's like, let's see what ScreenPix has to offer. And it'll be movies you've never heard of. We wound up watching a Judd Nelson erotic thriller. You know,
you'll get those.
Another one?
Yeah, there's plenty of them. The Best Man with Andy Dick and Dean Cain. Yeah, it's a really awful film.
Oh my god!
When did that come out last year?
2000, I think. Like 2001. Yeah, it's like a Tarantino-y knockoff, but also an indie movie at the same time.
Love
the more you describe it, the worse it gets. <It's Yeah. really, laughs>
But so Roz Kelly is getting ready for this big New Year's Eve special that she's shooting.
We're told by this manager character, he's reminding her, like, this is the big payoff, baby. Yeah. It's what you've been working for your whole career, hosting a sleazy Los Angeles New Year's Eve special.
To which she replies and lets you know exactly where we are. Richard, take a lute or something and just mellow out.
Yep.
Like,
I know. I don't even need to look at the calendar. I know what time it is.
take a lute and get me my lute.
Meanwhile, her assistant Yvonne has gone missing. We talked to her for a bit. She's our first opening kill, which is pretty okay. Not the best in the world.
It's all right, but I'll tell you an important detail here, because she is Blaze. Diane is her real name. Blaze, the on-air persona, I guess, is like, oh, Yvonne, where's Richard or whatever his name is? Oh, I just heard from Richard. He's in Palm Springs. Coked out. He's definitely not going to be here for your big special. Remember, Richard is not going to be here for your big special. Oh, a whodunit is starting? Almost. Yeah. That's what I love about this movie is like, from the jump, you know this person. There is no, like, the whodunit lasts for 2 seconds. Like, Yvonne gets killed in the shower. Bullshit, like, she's pulled into the shower, you see his cute little knife, and then the shower curtain closes?
You want a Tom Savini-esque guy on here. Somebody to do real cool blood effects. You don't get that in this movie.
This needs like Crowler-esque effects.
Yes.
That's and if you're not going to have like a mass killer or anything, you should like lean into, I don't know, lean into the like giallo elements or something. Yeah, do sure, totally. Like a lot of like eyeball close-ups and shit.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. And if you do it that way, we're certainly getting better music. Because you either have yeah. Goblin or a Goblin adjacent ripoff band.
Canon was known for neon light usage. You know, they were these colors, bright colors. Just give me some, you know, a close up on a leather hand. That's all I need. Oh, and we're fine.
You mean a gloved hand, leather gloved hand, not like an old man that's been sunbathing too long.
No, that's the guy making the movie.
Yes, exactly. Jack Palance.
One of these glam punks that are riding around, I just noticed this in my notes and I wanted to mention it because he was an amazing dude. One of the glam punks in that van or the car that's stacked with, I think I counted 9 people.
I couldn't count. There's so many people in the car. Mm-hmm.
Looks exactly like Jack Terrycloth.
Yes, he did.
Oh,
yeah, he
right.
Did.
Yeah. From
and
World
then
Inferno.
That guy winds up being like in the studio audience. And I think he's supposed to be like drugged out and like in love with her or whatever. Cause he's like front row, like coked out staring at her. But that dude looked exactly like Jack Terrycloth, which was weird.
I do kind of love the, so it's her show and it's like, we've got, oh, it's going to be a fantastic show. We've got Shadow is here.
Woo, Shadow!
And Made in Japan. And that's it. And look at this. You want a third band, maybe?
What,
possibly
no.
a fourth
what
band?
What more do you want? They got everything covered.
And they're like going to alternate one after another, like song
right.
by
and then
song.
A call-in segment, which I couldn't tell if it's actually broadcast as part of the show or not. I guess it is.
Maybe. I guess that you're supposed to believe that, but like they certainly don't act like it's being... Oh, for mass consumption. That's not what I got the feeling right. for. I mean, you want a name that someone off of the fucking street who is walking into your film would be able to notice. Not Shadow and Made in Japan. Like,
no.
One, like the adolescence or something. I don't know.
Maybe in the world of this film, Chris, Made in Japan is like talking heads.
Yes.
Like they're just as big.
Then I need to see some t-shirts. I need some posters. I need some signage. I need something.
Yeah, you need to build the world of the movie.
Yes.
Yes.
I need to know what this is. I need
absolutely.
To see a little zine culture here.
World building for the first 45 minutes would have really helped out.
I want a brutalist like runtime for this.
I'm so excited about I'm such a sucker for the like 1980s heavy metal horror film craze.
Yep.
You're like Trick or Treats, your Black Roses.
Oh,
yeah.
Roses, baby.
Yes.
That's a good one.
That's a great movie.
And so I was excited for that, but I guess they're a little more of a punk rocky thing. And at first I was like, this is a theme song. Wow, they got a theme song for this. And then I'm like, oh shit, it's Diegetic. Like, we hear the song like 10 more times.
Yeah.
And they're like playing it for an audience.
They paid Shadow $500 for the rights to that song, and they got every penny's worth on screen.
Wow. It's hot meals, too, I imagine. A few hot meals.
Anybody do it at New Year's Rockin' Eve anymore? My wife and I will do the thing where, like, you watch the ball drop, right? You'll give the 3 minutes before the ball drop, and I can't imagine watching one of those, any New Year's special where someone is talking to you for 3 hours and having guests. Those things...
We don't
seem to get worse every year.
They do, and that's why we continue to tune into them. It's like but it's not the whole thing in this house. It's like you watch a movie up until like we'll give it maybe 45 minutes or so, and like that way you miss like Jelly Roll singing a song and whatever the fuck, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
it's just like it's your yearly check-in with Mr. Worldwide Pitbull, you know? you gotta see what he's been up to this year. Yeah.
How else are you gonna see Eva Longoria? You know what? She'll be there for sure.
This music's not doing if they had Made in Japan, I'd be watching it every year.
Yeah. Oh, sure, yeah. Also, was I the only one that thought the dudes in Made in Japan look exactly like the dudes in Shadow, and I just thought it was the same band?
They're very, very similar. I think Shadow's a 3-piece, and maybe they're a 4-piece. It's possible.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So if you see the extra guy, you've got Made in Japan there.
Influence each other a little bit, I think.
Yes.
Sure. We meet Diane's loser son that I kind of want more of, this guy Derek.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Wrong. Oh, not a loser. He got a fucking role on Starship America, motherfucker.
Oh, true. Yes. I did.
He's got a top coat with tails on it.
What the hell could Spaceship America or Starship America be? Is that like supposed to be like a Galactica 1980?
It's got to be that kind of a thing is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
He looks like he would fit right into Galactica.
Or is it like a drugged out dance show?
Also true. He this dude is a weird hulking, like he looks like Incredible Hulk mid transformation.
Yeah.
The collar is straining the entire, I'm like, I just want to be like, dude, just can we just open that up a little bit, let you breathe, pal? It's
yeah,
it's
like
making me nervous.
You're at your mom's hotel room, man. Like someone just did coke in the bathroom. You don't need the top button. Like you can relax a little.
You know who he reminded me of? Have you guys ever seen Friday the 13th Part 5?
Oh, yes. Several times. Yes.
So the gentleman who is the killer, this guy's got that same energy.
Roy. Oh, Roy. He's yes. Real Roy energy. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, I can see that.
He does have a little bit of Roy energy there.
BRE, yeah. They call that Big Roy energy. Yes.
Yeah.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yes, but he does. Yeah, he's got a lead on the show. We don't know, though, if this thing is like picked up to series. You don't know what's going on here.
No. But it's a big moment in this kid's life. But
I guess it is.
I do kind of see mom's point, though. She's in the middle of a live broadcast and he's like, mommy.
Yeah. No, it's bad timing. And the movie, like the movie makes her look shitty. Like, I mean, I guess don't outwardly ignore your child. Right.
Sure.
But like. Also, yeah, like she's got a fucking show to put on, man. This is live television. This is what she's been working, as the manager said, her whole career for.
Andrew, thank you. There are dozens of people here to see her do her thing. There are. I saw upwards of 70 people mosh pitting. So guess, you know what?
You can only it's fit that nobody. Many people in the Holiday Inn ballroom, but it's the hundreds of loners out on, you know, New Year's Eve watching this from wherever.
Watching punk rock countdown. Like, I just, can you imagine someone being like, finally, someone's going to offer an alternative to the ball drops.
Yes.
Finally, somebody's going to do it. I would love to see that. The marketing campaign.
Yeah, the Hard Times Presents.
Yes. The more local things are always amazing, though. Like, there was the famous LA thing from several years back.
Oh, right, with Jamie Kennedy.
The
right?
Jamie Kennedy hosted thing that Patton Oswalt like made famous because he was like watching it live and tweeting about it or something. Like there's that. There was one, it's on YouTube. There's some one from like New York City in the 80s that's supposed to be another like fantastic kind of thing.
What was the Jamie Kennedy one? Did he heckle the ball?
No, it was like drunk women like fought with each other on camera.
What?
Like a fight broke. It was
it was just sad.
Jesus. You gotta look Christ. It up. It's like Los Angeles. Local New Year's Eve countdown hosted by Jamie Kennedy, and it was a train wreck from like the jump.
So
and only got worse.
Speaking of train wrecks, we're also we're not taking requests. We're taking votes for what the best new wave song of the year is on the air. The first one, someone asks for "We Don't Need No Education," which she's
that's
like,
not, "That's not an actual song."
Exactly. She's like, "No, nice."
That's
try.
Like my mom asking if I've seen The Wall.
Stuart, have you seen that new "We Don't Need No Education"?
Oh, Mom, you're embarrassing me in front of my friends.
I want to vote for that Doors song. The Time to Hesitate is Through. I thought that was a fantastic song.
But of course, here comes Evil. He bought a Gilbert Gottfried voice modulator on the internet, and this voice is fantastic. I love it.
Yeah,
it's so
awesome.
Much.
It's like a little like the Peter Frampton like tube synthesizer thing that he's using.
Yeah, yeah, it's like that, and it reminds me of the New York Ripper with the duck voice guy.
Yes,
but that's obviously better.
Yes. Classic sleazy New York movie.
Yeah, that's a sleazy, gross movie, but the duck voice is cool.
It's great.
How did Fulci never get into the Cannon fold? I don't. That seems like a marriage made in heaven, right there.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is evil, and I will kill someone every time zone, every hour on the hour.
There's a great where she goes, do you have a vote for Song of the Year? And he just goes, No.
But I do wish that, like, the other callers would maybe call in and reference this guy, make it a bigger deal. This is Hollywood Hotline. Lean into this call-in element.
Some world building. Yeah, just to find out there's more people out there. I mean, like, literally, that's the problem with the movie. If there is one, pardon, but like,
sure. Jury's still deliberating.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, it's just not big enough. Like, you want to see more, you want to hear more people. Yeah. You want to have them some boundaries to figure out that, like, yes, this is a real thing that's being broadcasted, I guess.
If, like, the greater Los Angeles area was, like, getting hip to it, right? And then everybody was talking about evil. Oh, evil keeps calling in. Maybe it would be, like, when when Los Angeles got together and caught the Night Ripper. Yeah. Remember that? Oh, like, man. Richard Ramirez was just, like, out on that street, and everybody was like, there he is. And they, like, surrounded him until the police came.
That poor man.
Oh, man.
Railroaded by his neighbors.
Yes, I mean, innocent until proven guilty. I didn't follow the case after this moment, but.
I mean, it's a different city, but now I just think of, like, Harry running up to tell Sally, like, I love you. I love everything about you. In the background, yet another young lady has been slain by the New Year's evil murderer. This is five now within 3 hours.
I hate you, Harry. I hate you. I hate you almost as much as Los Angeles hates evil.
Shut up. People are being murdered.
I want Dick Clark on the other end. This is like prime New Year's Rocket Eve. He's like, they're upstaging us with murders. We did our own murders. Come on.
Yes. What are
you? You have to know an assassin. Come on. You produce for NBC. You have to have known an assassin.
Dick Clark kills someone, and then they're like, he's got dementia. Okay. It's Ryan Seacrest now.
Yes, it is. But so basically, we cut to our first kind of kill, which is at some sanitarium where we see our killer, played by Kip Niven, by the way. Great name.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
And he's looking great too. My God. Yes.
He looks amazing. And he he cashes checks on those looks, because that's like half the people he kills. He tricks them into thinking he's just a hot guy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hot guy with or without an obviously fake mustache.
Oh my God. That was so fun. I was waiting for it to fall off with those girls.
He's a master of disguise, Andrew. Okay.
He really is.
Which means you have a mustache, you dress up like a priest. That means you're the master of disguise.
This is as close to like Trap was in being like a Hitman movie.
The Hitman
video game. Like, he has a fucking attaché full of like cheap disguises, and he is like he's killing dudes, putting on their clothes. It's amazing.
We got into the idea of like, we have to reflect that, like, how like rotten killers are in the soap by making them ugly. I'm like, no, most of them are hot. Most of them are a little attractive. Yeah, so it's better to do it this way, I say. The Bundy rule, I think, is the best.
Mm-hmm. You ever see BTK? Ooh, what a tall drink of water.
Oh, that guy. I mean, like, maybe like a roadside bar, he's picking up someone. But he's not a big timer.
Dennis Rader looks like an extra from Cheers, man. But
remember, that's what your mother liked. That's what my mother, everyone, it was a different time.
True. Yeah. That's fair. Office Jones.
But I finally had that talk with my mom. I'm sure you guys have had the same talk with your moms that during the 90s, in the peak of the erotic thrillers, was Michael Douglas a fucking smoke show? And my mom's like, yeah, he had like an edge.
Totally. You know,
it just, Michael Douglas always just looked like a little too skeletal for my tastes. But yeah, I guess the ladies were, that's the edge possible.
Not enough cushion for the pushing for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mom always said that he looked a little evil and she liked that.
Sinister. Yep. Yeah.
Makes sense, because her number one crush, of course, is Willem Dafoe.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Oh, about as sinister as it gets.
Demented.
So our dude gets in. By the way, this sanitarium, like, again, New Year's Rockin' Eve, I'm sure they had like a very quiet and calm show going on, but no, we're gonna play in this room full of catatonics and like Cuckoo's Nest knockoffs the fucking punk show, and these dudes are moshing. It's like it's pretty amazing.
I mean, you might as well give them a class on moshing, because nobody's really doing it.
Yes.
No. It seems like people are just doing like a like shoulder check to each other.
Yes.
Like,
You know what it reminded me of exactly, Chris, was when Kramer is auditioning for the music video, and it's just 100%. Them like in the room, and they're kind of just pushing each other back and forth. It's really lame moshing. Also, too many suit jackets in that room for moshing. Like, Some people are dressed like they're fans of the bands that they came to see that night. Or they're dressed to go to like a fancier than this will be New Year's Eve party.
Right, but it is new wave, right? And that's a little dorkier than your traditional punk.
True. I swear that one of the, like, either Golan or Globus saw like a story about moshing on the news, and they're like, I have a fucking great idea for a movie.
Moshing to breaking Electric Boogaloo.
Well, because, Golan's like, I have a great idea for a movie. Globus is like, how much does it cost? And he goes, nothing. And like, yes. men pushing each other.
I would rent The Mosher, and it's you know, this concert could be your last, right? Because there's The Moshers there.
You already had that queued up, I bet. That's a great title.
Or You'll Never Escape the Pit. There you go.
These are all great.
Yeah. But remember, their big thing was whenever there was a dance craze, and I do believe moshing would put in there, they would make a romance centered around learning what the dance craze is. And I would love to see like moshing with an apostrophe, them learning how to do it. Because like they did that with breakdancing, but then they also did it like with the La Bamba came
forbidden
back.
Forbidden dance, baby.
Yes, they did two of them. And it was like, just like, oh man, I would have loved to see two of these moshing.
Kevin Dillon is moshing.
Off the heat of the Blob remake. Yes. You know, you just go right into it.
But so meanwhile, our evil murderer is dressed as an orderly with a bottle of champagne, and it's the 80s. There's, of course, going to be another sexy orderly. Immediately just chat this lady. He's like, I'm here to help out with the overflow. And she's like, oh yeah, we could use that work. He's like, yeah, we really could. You want to go drink with me? And she's like, absolutely.
There's some classic flirting here. Like, oh, I saw you brought your own music, because he carries around this boombox to record the murders with. And then he says, I always come well equipped. And she says, I bet you do.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
I was getting steamy in my house.
Let's get down for some dirty randy sex. While meanwhile, out in the games room, there's a guy walking around literally acting like a monkey while they watch that fucking there's a dude that is straight up ooh-ooh-ah-ah-ing around the little activity room.
I love how it's not after my shift. How about before my shift? That I'm starting, we drink the champagne and fuck.
Yep,
a little bit more responsible, you know, just so you can get right in there, coast right in.
Now, this is where something really weird happens, though. So he's like...
How so?
It just is insofar as, like, the music that we've been talking about so far. And then he's like, oh, cool. Like, yeah, let's have a drink and, like, maybe make out a little. And he turns on his little radio, and it's clearly, like, a blues song. And then we cut back to that studio, and this fucking band is playing blues music out of nowhere. What are we doing? Because
they knew they were being sexy time music.
Someone somewhere might be having sex in a mental institution break room.
Nobody makes out the Dumb Blondes. Nobody. Mm-hmm. So you know what? You got to slow it down a little bit.
This is a little better in terms of the kill. You get like the hand and getting bloodier as it's kind of a switchblade. Though is the problem? It's a little dinky as a weapon.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's not
that
exactly.
Could break. That could break very easily.
But it's kind of elegant at the same time, isn't it?
No, compared to like a straight razor, I feel like it doesn't have the same.
Right.
That's true.
It's got personality to it. Or like a full-on butcher knife if you're going to go that way.
I guess the switchblade, you'd need like 30, 40 stabs to really get the job done. With a butcher knife, you know, you could get it done in two or three, I've seen.
They also make fun of the switchblade, like right at the beginning of the movie, because when the overstuffed car of teens gets to that Holiday Inn, the dude gets out and the security guard's like, where's your tickets? And the dude pulls out a knife and puts it right up to his face and then click, oh, it's the comb. And they start laughing at him. So like, you've already made fun of this weapon at the start of the movie. Bad choice. Bad choice.
The police detective is there now, basically, much against his will. He's like, oh, you know, you punk rockers are, you know, you're making up
these
stories.
He's blaming this woman. He's like, what did you expect to happen with the kind of people you like draw for your audience? I was like, buddy, eat shit.
He's saying, I think it's him who says, you're getting that phone freak. Yes. You have the hotline on a punk rock New Year's Eve. What do you think was going to call in, sir? Excuse me. Do you think it was somebody in a tuxedo was going to call into this? Not happening.
No, but not every punk out there is like, I'm going to kill someone when midnight strikes in every time zone.
Oh, well, Sid Vicious. He did that.
Yeah, he did do that.
Yeah.
Jesus. Sid Vicious, you stab one fucking woman. It's the only thing they remember you about, Steve. Yeah. Jesus.
And now, Steve, did you notice the actor who portrayed this lieutenant of the police force here?
I missed him. Who is he?
Chris Wallace. Apparently, he's in one episode of the Australian The Slap.
Oh, okay. Yes,
I just want to bring that up to you because you're a slap aficionado.
I'm an American slap expert. That is different.
You haven't gone international. With
I am
the
not
slap?
Gone international.
You got to go back and go international. And
also known as NBC's The Slap, as we know.
Yeah,
of
right.
course. Yeah.
Course. Stuart, did you guys watch The Slap?
No, I didn't see The Slap.
Well, yeah, that's either. Probably fine.
Steve just got back from a conference in Australia about it. And,
that's cool.
Oh, SlapCon.
Yeah, he's a keynote speaker. Con.
They put him up at a Westin. It was nice.
Oh, wow. Westin, that's not bad.
That's not bad, right?
could be worse. But so he calls it again. He's like, I killed her midnight Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's go to the videotape. I love that he's got the thing ready for there.
Yeah.
And he keeps going, replay.
And we've been doing, we've all been podcasting for a while. And I got to tell you, I know tech difficulties. I am sure this guy would have had tech difficulties.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, shit.
This thing goes off.
It sounds way cooler than where I'm at, actually. wait, that's the wrong part of the tape. Hold on, I'm rewinding.
Oh, shit, there's a car outside that's honking. It's going to obstruct the audio. Hang, just give it a minute. He's trying to pull out. Hang on a second.
Trying to leave a message here. But it is kind of funny to watch it. Like the physicality, because he's in a tiny phone booth. He's got this enormous boombox. He's also got the voice of my like, and now I'm okay. Well, hold on. Let me just grab. And he's like doing all this funny business of moving this stuff around.
To continue the call, please deposit 5 cents.
Oh, God damn it.
You better hope that no fucking Curious Kathy fucking goes by this place. Because like you would remember this. This guy who has like, 7 things in his arms while like yes. saying
the killer yep. will come for you in an hour. I do. Next up is our fake mustache. It's a scuzzy part at the scuzzy bar. Bury me at this bar, by the way. This place looks awesome.
Yeah, nice. Yep. Looks pretty great. Stuart, I imagine this is what the Hinterlands New Year's Eve party looks like at this moment.
Oh, boy. Yep. Everybody's getting murdered.
well, the murder happens off-site.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, we set that rule for our patrons. If you're going to murder somebody, you have to murder them at a second location.
Yeah, exactly. Take it outside, all your murdering.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think I've worked New Year's Eve for the last, 15 years now.
Yeah.
And so I always have New Year's Rockin' Eve playing on in the background, and hopefully I am busy and don't have time to watch Pitbull cavorting around stage.
Yeah. That's the hope.
But no, I wish obviously I wish that the bars that I owned were, 1970s dance clubs filled with fake mustachioed fellows. But
hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, although I think we have a DJ this year, and that is all requests, so I think somebody is getting New Year's Evil requested.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Gotta do it.
And if that guy,
hell yeah.
If that DJ dares say they don't have it, be like, look, I know for a fact it's on Apple Music, and it's available on YouTube, so figure it out.
Get direct linkage to them. Make sure they know.
By the way, that's what DJs like.
By now in our narrative, we've also gotten, I guess, Derek is functioning as a red herring, I guess,
because
he's putting on like leggings over his head. He's taking pills. I thought he was going to kill himself because his mommy didn't care about Spaceship America.
He's doing the Brian De Palma checklist. He's doing all the things you would do if you were going to be a killer in a Brian De Palma movie. So I was like, yeah, okay, this is good. But of course, it's a little too obvious. So I was like, probably not.
Him taking these pills, it's just 3 pills. He puts them in his mouth like he's putting, I don't even know, 30 in there. And like he swallows it and he has to rub his own throat to let you know that it went down. Like, I got it, dude. I
yeah. Don't open your mouth and like have the camera go inside there.
He is acting like it's such a huge lift, right? And I was like, I can't remember the last time I've taken fewer than like 3 aspirin at once. Like I'm a 3 man all the time.
Yeah,
oh
usually.
Yeah.
I'm a 2 usually. Boy.
I'm usually
2 boy now.
I'm jealous.
I might have enjoyed a reverse Uncut Gems. And just get an image all the way down into that stomach, and then then you turn up into mine somewhere.
And yeah, like, I think that's the technical term for that.
Yes. But back at the bar, our Kip Niven is got a fun mustache here. He's hitting on what we would call some dumb blondes in the parlance of the times. I would imagine. Yes, as the song is saying.
Yes, exactly.
But she's like, a little ditzy or whatever, and he's like, I'm going to a party at Eric Estrada's house. Yes! I love this detail. Yes.
Dude, imagine how fucking awesome his New Year's Eve parties were back then, right? Riding that chips money.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Legendary.
Like 1980, you're making this movie in 1979. So I'm looking at IMDb here. I don't just know this, but that is only 2 years into the chips phenomenon. Like, he's riding high, man. This is the time to get Estrada. But
do you think you could go up to a lady? We're airing this on New Year's Eve. Like, tonight, if you go to some woman or a man, you're like, hey, dude, we got a party at Timothy Chalamet's place. You want to come with me? No one is following Eric.
Because no one's going to believe you. No,
yes. Exactly.
Well, that's why this character has to be a bit dumber when she is. Because, yes, you'd have to be dumb to fall for this.
Also, that's not really one-to-one, right? Because
no.
TV versus
TV
film.
Actor would be like a big TV actor.
We're going to the JR from the Dallas is having a party tonight.
Whoa.
Wow.
Kevin Costner from TV's Yellowstone?
Yes, Kevin Costner's house at TV's Yellowstone. Yeah. That is it.
Someone from Chicago PD. I don't know.
Sure, yeah. Tracker from the show Tracker's house.
Oh, man. Tracker.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The show you don't know is classic yet, Tracker.
Tracker on the show Tracker's name is like Colt. It's something even cooler than Tracker somehow. I can't even remember. It's like Colter Shaw or some shit. He should be fighting X-Men.
Yes,
absolutely.
Hunting them down.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
But she is a little smarter. She's like, I'm going to go, but I'm going to bring my friend, Sheila or whatever, because I'm not going to go alone. And this is the beginning. This guy, like, the first kill goes smoothly. The rest of the night, he is fucking up Royal every fucking step he gets.
No, real amateur hour shit, dude, I have to say. By the way, Stuart, I looked it up. Tracker is Colter Shaw.
Hell yeah. Oh,
yes. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's
Tracker. I love how much they make, how much this woman and her friend make him work for this.
Like, yes.
Yep.
He is not loving life at any point during this. He's like, you can clearly see a look on his eyes where he's like, I picked the wrong people. And this woman will not stop talking about her friend's diarrhea, which is great.
Oh, yes. You got to do transcendental meditation because it even stopped Lisa's nervous diarrhea.
Oh, God.
And then he's like, Lisa, why don't you go to that liquor store and get us a bottle? And, We got a kill here.
He slips her a hundo, and then, he goes to Lisa gets away, and he goes to his prime lady. He's like, listen, you want to smoke a number? Always love a number.
Hell yeah.
That's good.
And it's right. And he's like, it's right. Almost like a dog. He's like, it's right in this bag. You want to go look for it? Go get it. Go get the drugs, Sparky. Go get the drugs.
Come on, Sparky.
Get a good smell or whatever of how good this stuff is. This number is going to be excellent. And then, the bag over the head. And he's changing his MO here.
I think this is the best kill of the movie because of it. It's kind of cool looking.
That's what you would do.
There's weed in the bag. Like, there is some weed or something weed-like in the bag, at least. Like, this is a bag that's so large that it should have one of those, like, children could, like, suffocate in it. Right. But, like, for weed, which is hilarious.
I would love to. I love the cop to, like, pull him over and he arrests him for the weed but not killing the woman. I will not have this in my city, sir.
He's like, go get the biggest bottle. Lisa comes back with the champagne. The car is gone. We're deciding to do Friday the 13th noises for some reason.
Yes. Dude, and this came out the same year, so I don't know what's going on there.
No. What theirs is E-E-Ah. Ours is E-E-Ah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, but no, I noticed that too, Stephen. I was like, excuse me, wait a second. Those chi-chi ah-ahs, and then I was like, oh, wait, the same year. So now, because I'm a psycho, I'm looking up release dates. But,
yeah, but also when he did that kill, on the radio was the countdown for Central Time. He's going to kill a new woman or a new person every single ball drop across the country.
I really got to say, one of the more boring motivations for murder.
Yeah.
As far as what your plans are, like, did this guy, like, did his, like, dad get hit by a car because of daylight savings time or something?
Well, I'd like to see you do better. What's your grand plan?
Well, I you know what? I like the moon. I think I would be the lunar guy. I know it's an old favorite. I know it's not very original, but I think I'd go with the moon.
Oh, like killing people according to the phases of the moon.
Yeah.
And would you, wear, like, a Mactonite head or something while you do this?
Yeah. Look, Stuart, you're doing the work for me right here. This is,
You gotta have the big sunglasses. Hell yeah.
Yeah, because you could easily attract unwitting people because they're going to be like, I want to talk to this guy. Maybe he knows Erica Estrada.
I'm the biggest fan of the Sam Rockwell movie Moon, and I just keep on telling. He just kept on telling me about this mediocre movie. I don't know why he did that.
He kills.
How about this, though? Hang on a second. How about this? Friday the 13th, Part 1, May 1980. New Year's Evil. December 1980.
All right, so guaranteed that is Golan in the editing bay. Yep. Like, put the noises in. No, they're good noises.
I heard them in the movie. The movie with the lady that killed everybody. I saw it.
They will never recognize that we have stolen the sound effect. They will not know it.
She gets the other lady gets murdered too.
Hang on a second.
A good
we got
one.
Some stuff here, Steve. We got some stuff. Okay. We got I want to put this out there, a little bit of a theory. This guy, this Mr. Evil, a little bit of a footman.
Oh.
Because both the first movie at the mental institution or whatever, they're the home, and then here, he's leaving a trail of women's shoes to the body. Like, there's, like, the nurse, like, he leaves a high heel propping open the door so the other nurse finds it. This is literally, like, here's one shoe. And then closer to the dumpster is the other shoe, and then the dress is sticking out of it. I think we got ourselves a footman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I buy it.
And that's fucked up, man. Just because that's his specific fetish doesn't make him a killer.
Yes. Bringing us all down here, dude. What are you doing?
That's right. Not all feet, guys.
Yes. Hashtag not all feet, guys. Some of does he call back? Is he? Because he is a little late. I do want him to be like, sorry, it's really like 11:05, but it took me a while, but I got two this time. You want to hear both?
You could simply say that it was a fat woman on the phone. It took me a minute to get off.
I do love that he was stressed out about the time when he was driving.
And this,
well, because that's the whole thing. That's all you have is time zones. And he's like, now I'm just a regular serial killer. There's nothing cool about me at all. I miss the central time zone.
And now Lisa finds the heel of her friend that has been killed. And then the dude is in the dumpster. Great shot of him with the fake mustache with the lighter on.
Yes, pretty sweet.
And he grabs her. And this I feel like this kill could have used some fart noises because she has nervous diarrhea.
Absolutely.
He should call back to the TV show and be like, all right, so here's the deal. I tried to make up for missing the central time zone by killing two women, but the second one had nervous diarrhea and she shit all over me, so I'm giving up for the night. Maybe next year we'll try this again, but Evil out.
I mean, once you hide in a dumpster, I'm probably giving up for the night.
Well, he changes now.
This is crazy.
We got no shitty changes. That's all he's got is clothes, dude.
But fair point.
He calls the police. He tells them where the bodies are to be discovered. He hears the police drive by. He's taking his clothes off and changing in the public. I guess
a block away. Yes.
I guess in 1979 that was fine just to be shirtless. I'm sure.
It's LA, dude. This guy's looking at his partner like, should we check out that guy over there? And he's like, what a physically fit middle-aged white man? Absolutely not. That's not who we're looking for. Keep driving. Yeah,
Reagan didn't invent no shirt, no shoes, no service. Yeah,
I want to get his workout routine. We can do that. I would mind to know that.
And now, because it's the early 80s, late 70s, a biker gang basically hijacks the movie. It's amazing.
Hell yeah.
This happened in, like, it was just Deus Ex biker. I never seen the Ninth Configuration.
Did you say Deus Ex Bikina?
I meant to say biker gang, but I probably said Bikina.
Sure.
Bikina's better, Steve. First of all, Bikina's just better.
All right, we're going to go Bikina. The Ninth Configuration is a kind of an Exorcist sequel that takes place, like, kind of in a mental institution.
Yeah.
That, too, out of nowhere, same year, actually, in 1980, the last act is just totally ruined. Not ruined, but, like, taken over by a biker gang.
I mean, but I guess it kind of, like, it kind of makes sense here a little bit. It kind of makes sense in that movie a little bit. I don't know why they did it in Awakenings. It really just baffles me that was the turn they decided on that one. I mean, of all the things like Robin Williams used to be into, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the original cut of E.T. was stopped by a biker. Like, all the kids were going and, like, the
out of Africa had that biker gang just took over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
When, Daniel Day-Lewis at the end of My Left Foot, I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah.
Probably the weirdest turn was in Amistad when the boat was pulled over.
But it's just out. These guys, it's kind of great. Like, I want to see the original Killias planned because he's dressed as a priest and he's got this, like, these headshots of, like, another, like, looks like a bishop and a nurse and a nun. And he's like,
That's the lookbook, I think, to make sure that he is legit looking. He's like, all right, that's what a priest looks. Excellent.
Yeah. Got it. But yes, he tips into a biker's bike, and, like, now these guys are chasing him.
Well, first the one biker flips him off,
yes,
just for being a priest, which is pretty awesome.
I don't understand this. Doesn't everybody know you just get on top of a bar and start dancing and it's fine?
All right, the Pee-wee effect. Yeah,
that's you're easy, it's peasy.
Pee-wee hadn't come out yet, so the G&G can steal it from me.
But he's, like, cool at his heels at this a New Year's Eve, what do you call it there? A drive-in movie theater. That's pretty fun.
Dude, the Van Nuys awesome. Drive-in. Real drive-in movie theater.
Oh, is this the one that Cliff Booth sleeps behind?
I think it is. Yeah. No, I think it's the exact theater. Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a horror marathon on New Year's Eve.
Which sounds awesome.
I would
100%
actually.
Do that.
I was like, totally. Ooh, I would totally do that one year. I guess they're sort of playing, like, knockoff Herschel Gordon Lewis looking movies, because, like, they're saying Herschel Gordon Lewis titles, but then it's, like, other movies.
Images,
I think. Yeah.
Like Blood,
you know,
Feast.
Blood Feast and Blood Spatter and, you know, all that stuff. But yeah, I do love this hideout at the drive-in. Pretty great. But they, of course, follow him in, which is, I love the little drive-in attendant trying to, like, charge the bikers, like, admission, and they're just whipping right past this girl like, fuck you, we don't pay for drive-in movies.
Now here's the question: do you count the biker that you kill in this scuffle? Like, or maybe you have to have your sound recording to make it count.
No, wait, hang on, die again, I didn't hit record, hang on.
It was 30 past the hour, I gotta give it to it, get him to an hospital, revive him, and then kill him at the stroke of a midnight. Not my midnight, but a midnight.
Listen, things went out of hand. I got in trouble with some bikers. I did kill one of them. Trust me, they did die.
He's stabbing this biker like, this is for the mountain time zone.
It is great how that biker gets it, though, because the biker runs off to him and says, greetings, asshole.
Great.
Pretty awesome.
Awesome. We got use that one at home. And then he says, I'm a man of God, not a man of violence. And the biker laughs. And then the priest is just stabbing you. You didn't see that coming.
No. Beautiful. Getting murdered by a priest, really did not see that coming. This guy's going to hell. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, exactly.
Up with that.
And we've got two young lovers watching these trailers, getting high. I think this is the only nudity we have in the movie, right? Which is kind of shocking.
No,
we
get the van. The van, right. The van titties.
Yes, that's right. Apologies.
Yeah.
You need to go back and put in the van titties.
Yeah. Let me check Mr. Skin. Let me log in with my account.
Bookmarks folder.
That's where Golden Globus were in the editing room. They were there all the time.
Yeah. I do love these two teens, though, because this guy, I mean, I guess he's having a good time because, like, he's feeling up his lady friend and whatever. But she is just, like, hitting this spliff, watching the movies, like, not acknowledging.
Yes. He's like, isn't it about time? And she's like, maybe next movie. She wants to watch these Herschel Gordon Lewis movies.
Totally. She's having a good time. Keeper.
Yeah, I haven't identified so much with a character in a horror movie as her.
Stop.
Like, whatever. Stop, honey, my titties are out. I just want to smoke weed and watch this movie.
Honey, stop playing with my tits. Come on. Just, they're softer, at least. Jesus.
I told you, after Blood Feast. God. But yeah, and then he almost... I do love... Here's the other thing, too. Like, he kills that guy, and then he's like, maybe I can run back to my car. And all the bikers, like... descend on it and start like beating it with baseball bats and shit. I just like, can you imagine being at the drive-in and just a bunch of bikers start totally destroying the car next to you? Like, I'm just gonna turn up my radio a little more here so I can hear Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny clearly.
Hey, stop doing that. Doing that. That's not nice.
Right, commandeers their car, pulls this kid out, screams, where are the fucking keys? They're in the ignition. He drives off with the girl.
Right. Yeah.
He kills this dude too, though, right?
Did he?
I think he just tosses him aside or something.
Yeah, tosses him. All right, he tosses him. Okay.
He's too busy. He's got to get out of there. The bikers are going to get him.
And the time?
Yeah, it's not midnight, dude.
that's true.
Doesn't count to the goal.
I think, it's this total like accidental kidnapping in a way because he's like, oh, you're still here? Oh, God. All right. Well, murder victim it is.
Well, what time is it? Well, I can't. We'll see. We'll see.
Let's stop for coffee for a little bit. We'll talk, and then we'll get down to it. I got 25 minutes.
He almost runs down these two drunks, I think, is
that's
what happens.
That allows her to get out, yes.
Really
fucks
her.
Yeah, these wasted dudes in the middle of the road.
Really fucks them over doing this.
Heroes, honestly.
Really.
This, we're airing this on New Year's Eve. Tonight, get wasted. If you see a car in the road, just slap on the hood. You might save a life. You never
know.
It's
true. Yeah.
Wander drunkenly into the road. It might save a life.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All these helpful holiday tips from We Hate Movies. But she like runs through a park or whatever. He gives chase. She finds some bleachers to hide under.
This is where the switchblade really lets him down because he's like trying to be eerie and scary, Mr. Scary Guy. And he's like tapping against the bench with the switchblade. And it's just, it's not doing it. You need something.
Yeah,
like
it's like, did I hear something? Is he menacingly tapping something? I can't tell what that is. That a noise?
Yeah, is he like playing the like hi-hat part of this rock song or some shit?
But then he's scared by a disembodied voice. We never see this cop, do we? This guy yells out police and like, miss, are you okay? And he runs away.
Yeah, basically runs off. He gets away because we do see the cops like are talking to the drunk guys. Again, these guys are the heroes of the film.
They are. You could be a hero tonight. Just slap a hood. Maybe two. Maybe three. You never know where the kids in danger are.
Make yourself look like shit. It might help. It really will. It could help someone.
We kind of come back to the studio here. We've gone full lockdown because I think there's like some psychiatrist there now who's like, this man is trying to, he is clearly his last kill will be you because that'll be get him the most exposure. And that is what the Son of Sam did and the Zodiac Killer, et cetera, et cetera.
He is being like, this actor saw the parlor scene at the end of Psycho and just like did that for this. Like, it's the same kind of cadence or whatever. This is after one of my favorite parts of the movie, though, Steve.
Oh, please.
The detective goes to address the audience of the TV show. Oh, yes. He said everything's in lockdown.
Right.
This is how they find out because he's like, hi, I'm Detective whatever from the LAPD. Instantly booed for like seconds on end. It won't stop. It's pretty awesome.
We should quickly mention we had Happy New Year from Aspen, Colorado, right before the LAPD announcement.
Yes. Right, and he's now missed. The bleacher girl, I think, was supposed to be Mountain Time there. Yeah. But he's getting booed or whatever. And this is when he's like, so by the way, this building is totally sealed. So if you leave this room, you don't get to come back. And I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Because what we were talking about before, like the city is not on high alert for this guy. And no one in the room knows what the fuck's really going on. You can't even tell if they can hear the obscene phone calls that she's taking from the dais or whatever. So all these people are like, wait, why are we locked in here on Newsy? What the fuck is this guy talking? And like, no other information is given.
Yeah, why is this guy with a vest? Why is this guy with a vest telling me I can't leave?
Yeah, exactly. Like, man. What is happening? I thought I was just coming to a New Year's Eve taping of my favorite live call-in show.
We cut outside. There's people. This guy's like, I've got keys. It's New Year's Eve. I want to fuck up there. And they're like,
oh,
no,
right.
You're not allowed. You're not allowed in. I just want to call it. I know I missed cholera. I'm really sorry. Listen, it's a fucking mess out there. The traffic alone.
I mean, what was the point of doing it if you didn't do that? Like, but I listen, mean, I'm
let's
honest.
Go back.
Like,
let's go. Hold on. Don't go on my ass about this. Let's go back. I killed two ladies plus the biker. That counts. Sure. He counts.
Sure, but you the whole thing was on time, and you just skipped the whole time. I think you failed. Is what
it's
you're
all in the night. It's part of the magic and the mystery.
But there's no tape to be played. I thought that was your whole thing. You were playing the tapes, right?
Literally, a dog did eat it. I'm not gonna get it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Separate situation.
Interesting.
It's my first year, all right? It's my first year as a holiday slasher. Cut me some slack.
You know, that one guy got away from the bone collector.
He does.
There's a weird, oh, I gotta put this out there, though, because the guy, this fucking psychologist, is like, oh, yeah, he slashes the breasts of his victims, which clearly means he has mother issues. Yep. When he says that dubious piece of information, it cuts to the sun, like up in the room still. And like, what we have not mentioned was, yes, he's got the stocking on his head and whatever, but he has put like a huge pin through his earlobe. Like he's pierced both his earlobes. So he's just like bleeding all over himself.
Yeah.
All of this to come to nothing, like pretty much by the end of this movie.
He's just your average punk kid.
I mean, I feel like they're setting up a very dumb twist at the very end.
Oh, yes.
Which, right, of course, is going to lead to New Year's Evil 2 or New Year's Tuval.
Oh, New Year's Tuval.
Two Years Evil.
Thank you, Stu. You'll forget about Hawaii time.
You tend
to forget about
right.
I want New Year's Evil 2. This time he gets it right. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep, exactly.
It's time to get his shit together.
Same blood lang syne.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. He should have a giant clock like Flavor Flav just to remember what time it is.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Yeah, clearly his little watch like wasn't doing enough for him.
He infiltrates the building because the building's on total lockdown. No one can get in even if you have keys to fuck. He does this great move where there's the garage. And he sees one lowly officer by himself. He's like, hey, officer, I think I see a drunk guy over here. Oh, on New Year's Eve, let me go. Let me stop everything I'm doing.
Want to make fun of him? Huh? Want to go hang out and look at him? Maybe throw some stuff at him?
And he hits this cop over the head with a brick. And I'm like, and that apparently he lived through this, which is sad to hear.
Yeah.
Because I thought it would be another kill. This is a kill.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
It would have been nice.
Well, there's a backstory. That police officer is a bad guy. He's an abuser. Like,
yeah, right. Exactly. That's totally justified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he bashes this dude in. And again, yeah, just like, you know, becomes this guy, like takes the uniform and this
47 baby.
Yeah,
now he's got a cop's gun though. Yeah, and that's now we're stepping up a little bit from the switchblade.
That's my fantasy. Oh, really? Not just a gun, a cop's gun.
Yeah, yeah. Every time you're in like a bodega and there's a cop getting his food, yes. You're like, I could probably take that off.
I honestly always think about it. I used to work in Times Square and they'd always be walking around. I'm like, ooh, but then, you know, it'd be lights out for me pretty quick. Probably.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that, you shoot up to 5 stars, want to level immediately. You're on the run, baby.
I need more time to train in my backyard, and then I'll be ready.
Get those knees high.
Here's a pro tip, though. You got to get them right as they're starting, like, a difficult level of Candy Crush on their phone.
Right.
And then it's like, yoink. Like, when both thumbs are clearly engaged, yoink.
But so this is like there's this cop that is going to be married to Blaze here. He's like, wherever you go, I go.
Dude, this guy with a fucking straight up TJ Hooker wig, it's awesome.
Love that.
He takes her to her room. First is surprised by Derek, who has like a hissy fit because the mom's like, oh, Derek, I forgot you were in here. He's like, yeah, I noticed. You always forget. I had a big surprise, but you ruined it. And, we have to say, he's a hulking man in his mid-20s. Like,
Gotta let it go, buddy. I'm sorry. Like, it's about time to be okay with your mother maybe forgetting.
Obviously, it sucks that they like play up the feminization of this guy is being tied in with his like mommy issues, and that's all tied in together, and that will later reveal that he is also a killer, or capable of it. Yeah. And that all sucks, but I also do kind of like him like taking pills and putting a fishnet over his face.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Oh, it's pretty great.
This'll solve what ails you.
Yeah, I mean, we got to shoot this scene in the Holiday Inn. What the hell can we do? I don't know. Put the thing on your head.
Lots of ice. How about a lot of ice?
And now we got. I believe we're introducing Made in Japan with their song "Banzai." Here we go.
Yes.
Oh boy. Yeah. And right for the big reveal.
Yes, and this mask is pretty cool. I don't even know what this is.
I like
is.
This
it looks,
one.
It looks like a Stan Laurel mask, but he's bald. Kind of. It's really creepy.
Yeah.
Anyone know what this was supposed to be?
No idea.
No, yeah.
I couldn't tell if it was like a Nixon-style man. Like, I don't know what's going on.
That's closer to it, Stuart.
I will say the tracksuit that he is wearing, top drawer. I mean, what I would not give for that thing.
It looks pretty comfortable, man, and pretty stylish. Like, this guy, possibly one of the best-dressed horror slashers, I think.
Well, because in the beginning of the movie, Yvonne is like, oh, yeah, Richard can't make it because he's in Palm Springs. So I guess this is a very Palm Springs-y outfit that he's putting on to, like, sit with that, like, idea.
Right.
You're doing drugs by the pool.
Yeah, exactly. It's Palm Springs, but he's also coked out. You could 100% blow rails in this jumpsuit.
Oh, for
no
sure.
Doubt about
definitely.
It.
But he wears this creepy mask, scares her, reveals that she's like, oh, Richard, and you, the audience, are like, what?
Who is that supposed to be?
It's a refreshing way to do this, man, I have to say. And, like, especially only 2 years off from Halloween, like, this was the angle you took. Pretty fucking smart, man, I have to say. Pretty cool.
I thought it was pretty well done.
And, so he's her husband, and you realize he's, you know, obviously everything's wrong. Basically, he was Derek's big surprise that he was waiting in the bathroom.
But Evil leaves right here, and the cop is like, I personally checked, like, how did you get in there or whatever? And he's like, oh, he blames it on the manager or whatever. Like, oh, yeah, her shitty manager, you know, like, let me into the hotel. And this guy's like super suspicious immediately. Like, I don't know. That guy's wearing a cokehead tracksuit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they find the detective, the lead guy or whatever, gets a call that they have found Richard's car. Uh-oh, at the drive-in. Looks like some bikers beat it up pretty good.
This is also where we revealed that Richard, our evil character, was once a patient at the sanatorium. So now they're digging up the dirt on this dude.
That's how he knew his way around. That's how he knew he could easily sneak in, and it's not guarded at all.
Right, yeah. I'll start my murder spree at my low-security mental home I was at. Mm-hmm. But he's also, I guess, at some point done some training with Dennis Hopper about elevator technology.
This part's pretty wild. Yeah. That he just, third act, I know what elevators are, and he's just pickpocketed this thing with... He's like making it. He's making this elevator dance.
He knows like the trick. Like, oh yeah, you jam the screwdriver in here, and the thing's just gonna fall. Yes. Like, pretty terrifying stuff here. Mm-hmm. But
he
it's like,
he kicks a cop in the face as well, right? When he gets in there with
the
his
face
wife.
Kick is pretty great. But before, as kick. It's falling, though, nice observation about it, as it's falling. Like, we needed some direction for this cop because. Yeah. You know, Blaze is doing her. She's screaming. Yeah. You know, it's totally fine. This other guy is just stone faced, like staring, barely blinking, not saying or anything, just this like stone faced stare. And I was like, buddy, you got to be reacting to something, man.
You're in the shot, dude.
You're in the shot. Oh, sir. My direction for you is you're in the shot.
Okay. That line at your feet, that's a mark.
But yeah, this dude, Evil, you know, he's got some great, moves with regard to doing something right after a door opens, much like that lid of the dumpster.
Yeah.
Like the elevator door opens, he is right there to kick that cop in the face, right there, ready for it.
Yeah, yeah, he missed his calling as like a surprise party thrower.
That's a better use of his energy, and everyone can enjoy that.
That's true, and way fewer people are getting murdered with that job.
Yes, absolutely.
Doesn't he start like playing her the kills again, and says like instant replay, like
a miracle of modern technology?
Because he realized he fucked up trying to do it over the phone.
Yeah, dude, yep. You barely fucking put an EP out, and you're putting together a greatest hits record. Are you fucking serious?
He's now telling her how much he hates her. He hates all women. You know, it was always your career and blah, blah, blah. And poor Derek is now in the same boat, yada, yada, yada.
It's total incel shit. He's like, you castrated me. Oh. Women are immoral and deceitful and very selfish. That's why Yvonne was first. Like,
dude, I'm sorry. She paid for that beautiful tracksuit. And probably your fake mustache.
100%. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, but his whole, like, he's got a plan for, like, after I murder my wife. Like, it's the funniest part of this whole thing. He's like, oh, and you know what I'm going to do? First, I'm going to kill my wife, and then I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and take my little son to the Rose Bowl.
Yes. Yeah.
He's got plans to go see a fucking football game after this.
It's great that he's got New Year's Day plans. I think that's wonderful.
Well, that's the problem. That's why he's not focused tonight. He's got these football tickets burning a hole in his pocket. Thinking about what snacks he's going to get. Like, no, focus on the bikers.
He's like, I got to get there early. The parking in Pasadena is a pain in the ass.
You know, that could have been like if he lived through this night, we could have had the trap scenario there at the Rose Bowl. Like, I heard this is all for Evil. He's supposed to be here today.
Wow, it's so nice. They agreed to start the football game earlier so more people could come to it or whatever the reasoning for a matinee concert is in that movie.
Yeah, and they show up at the Rose Bowl and they're like, wait a minute, halftime performance by Lady Raven. Oh, shit.
Oh, clearly it's a trap Lady Raven's performing. Fuck.
That's not real music.
Hey, man, let me let you in a little secret. You know that guy Evil that killed all those people last night?
Yeah.
this whole Rose Bowl is a way to trap him, et cetera. He chains her to the bottom of the elevator.
Yep. Because, again, he's got, like, his garage door opener attached to this elevator, and he's, like, lift it up a little. Perfect. Okay, now I can handcuff you to it. And this is wild.
You're no longer New Year's Evil. You are the elevator killer at this point. Like, you have now become elevator guy. Like, your gimmick has changed.
Yeah. Guys, I don't know about you. When it comes to, like, elevator killing, I always fucking think of the first Mission Impossible. Emilio Estevez. That messed me up super bad. Speaking of De Palma.
Yeah, totally. Now,
it's a horror shot. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where those daggers come from, but it's in there.
Yeah. Ooh. Who designed that?
I really want to, seriously, like, I want to talk to this would be like such a weird waste of time, but also informative. Like, I just want to hear from an elevator guy and just be like, hey, man, let's watch this scene with Emilio Estevez real quickly. Yeah. Brian De Palma. Yeah. Mission Impossible. Yeah. 1996. Yeah. All right, what are those spikes for, sir? Is that industry standard?
Well, you see, if the elevator's going too fast, daggers come down to stop it.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you got a problem of Estevez on the top of your elevator. Those daggers will clear them right off.
It was very fashionable at the time to have daggers at the top of your elevator. We called them lift knives. Everybody loved them.
Oh, yeah, that's a leftover from when H.H. Holmes worked at Otis Elevator Corporation. Yeah.
He did some consulting work with Tyson Krupp.
But the cops are hot at his heels right now. He can't even kill his wife, unfortunately. That's a bummer.
I love this shot of her going up the elevator shaft, though. It's a cool effect shot. Although, weird thing, and honestly, almost as puzzling as when they see the decapitated heads in Ghostbusters 2, Yvonne's head is just stuck in the elevator shaft randomly. It's not a thing where, like, you know, Michael Myers or Jason, where they like collect all the kills and they're all in the same room at the end and the final girl like sees everybody revealed one at a time grossly. Like, this is just the one head that he stuck here somehow, some way, at some point in the evening. Very strange.
It's
very
the only weird person he killed that she knows, you know, in this big revenge against my wife. It's more like, I don't know, I want to like kind of make it with some ladies and kill them.
Well, she's, you know, you're kind of a loner is the thing. You don't got many friends. So I didn't know I'm going to kill my son. That doesn't make any sense.
Who's going to go to the Rose Bowl game with me? There's a couple riding this elevator, which big mystery here. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I have to ask. So, like, it's this couple. They're wasted.
Yeah.
The elevator passes their floor, and the guy's like, something fucked up's going on here, whatever.
Yeah.
This guy appears to be wrapped up in, like, thick-cut scotch tape or something. Like, I don't know what this
I think
outfit
he
has
a punker
on
is the idea, you know? Like,
dude, he
guy
is just, he's literally wrapped up in trash. Like, it just, it's
like punk.
Just kind of jog back through the file if you're interested and look at it. He's literally just wearing strips of like torn shopping bags on his body. I don't understand it. And the other, like the woman that he's with, like his date for the night or whatever, is dressed totally nicely and fine.
He participated in one of the like practice challenges on the reality show, like whatever, like Project Runway, where he had to make an outfit out of trash and then wear it. That was the main challenge. Yeah.
Oh, great. I got stuck with garbage bags. Look what I have to wear to the live broadcast.
No, honey. It's very creative. It's lovely, really. I'm not embarrassed going out with you. Not at all.
The cops come in and this dude immediately pulls out the cop's gun that he stole and just starts firing wildly at all these guys. And all these cops are like, oh, cool. We can't get a shot on him, but let's all of us shoot the shit out of this elevator control panel for some reason. This thing is like sparking and shooting up. And I'm like, the elevator part of this is over with. Like, what are you guys doing to that electrical box?
The elevator's going to kill them. Shoot it.
I will say my experience with city employees like firemen and cops is that if they have equipment, they're going to want to use it. It does not matter the collateral damage.
Oh, no. But they get to the roof. He springs to the roof somehow and he gets the mask. This is what I love is like when the jig is up, the mask goes on for this guy. Everybody else, when the jig is up, the mask comes off. This guy, mask time.
Mm-hmm. And it's Hamlet time, baby. We're going to start talking some Shakespeare, you know.
Oh, to die, to sleep no more.
Yeah.
No. It doesn't make any sense, Steve. But, you know, you toss in a little of the bard into this script, classes it right up.
Yeah. Got that famous book of Shakespeare quotations. You know?
Yes.
Going through it.
Yeah. And then he's looking over the edge, and I love the LAPD guy being like, don't you even consider it, you scum.
Oh, totally. Don't make this all for nothing.
Oh, my God.
I will.
He jumps off to kill himself, and this fall of the dummy is exquisite. I love it.
Great dummy.
Dude, quite primo gorgeous stuff. Just limp limbs, all four of them. Ooh. Just classic dummy action.
I love it.
It's so great.
Like a dummy falling off a building. I love that. It's it's like that shot in The Hidden where the woman falls off the roof and you can see the crash map pop up.
Yes.
I just
my gosh.
Yes. The Hidden, by the way, good fantastic movie.
Very good.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so then the sun, like, the dude lands on the ground or whatever. The sun comes out of nowhere and just starts, like, crying over the body. And yes. I love this cop that comes up. Oh, all right, get this shit out of here. Get the fuck out of here with this.
You know, we're fucking serious.
The thing about the sun, speaking of X-Men, he has a mutant power to teleport in and out of the movie at will. Like, he is just, like, completely gone. And then, like, you're like, oh, right, the sun. Like, he's yep. not a character, really. You know?
But here he is stroking his daddy's hair. Yeah, a lot. I thought it was a little much on the hair.
But Blaze gets taken into this ambulance, and it's kind of funny. Like, she's being carted out of the studio or whatever, and you hear all this bad ADR, like, oh my God, that's Blaze. Oh my God, Blaze. Is that Blaze over there? Oh, I hope Blaze is okay.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Because she's that famous. Or that's something. I don't know how to gauge what level of fame this woman is supposed to be at, right?
We needed more, what was it, Hotline Hollywood or whatever. We need to lean into this show more, show World it building. More, have well, more people even, call in, have people ask for autographs.
This is pre-MTV too, right? Because MTV is like 83 or 80s. It's mid-80s or early 80s, but not 79.
It's not mid-80s. It's very much early
80s. August 1st, 1981.
Yeah, so a little ways away.
And Electric Boogaloo hadn't come out yet, had it?
That's a good call.
I feel like Electric Boogaloo shows that they understand the concept of a community coming together.
I guess she's just a DJ that is famous.
Maybe because you could still be like a big city market DJ.
Yes.
Back then, and like. Have a big following,
and your face is plastered billboards. That whole bit.
Yeah, exactly. People Breaking know, 2, yeah. 1984, by the way.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. There you go. So she's in this ambulance getting carted off, and wouldn't you know it? The sun is driving this ambulance because you see like the camera sort of like pans, and it's just in the driver's seat is the kid with the mask on.
You see a dead medic too?
Like, yes,
the medic is right next to him on the floor. He looks exactly like John Carpenter, which is pretty great.
So he's killed somebody. Kid's got to kill.
It fits. I mean, you think he's gonna go and kill his mother, obviously, and then when they're driving off with this ambulance, we hear on the radio, "Stroke of midnight in Hawaii, aloha, happy new year from Hawaii."
Yeah, no, but you know what?
Chilling.
Living well is the best revenge. If your mother doesn't know you're on Starship America, she's going to know when that show's a huge fucking hit, dude.
Oh, yeah.
And you're drinking champagne and you're not returning her phone calls. That's the move.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, Steven. Now I have to think about all the people.
Thank you.
All the people, like, you know, the cast and all the crew for. Mm-hmm. American Starship. I mean, like, the production's put in jeopardy. I mean, this guy's a serial killer now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be put in jeopardy even if he didn't kill anybody. Like, I caught myself thinking about that where I'm like, man, there's no way they can do this show with him because his dad just killed a bunch of people.
Right. Yeah, actually, that's true. Yeah. Dad got him fired regardless. You're totally right.
No, it's a quiet life for him after this.
You don't get it. I'm John Wayne Gacy Jr.
Yes, no.
Mask was supposed to be a little Gacy-ish. Maybe. It looks like a fat clown almost.
Clown-esque. Sure. Yeah. That, when he's like, yeah, I'm John Wayne Gacy Jr. You're like, you know, J.G. Bullock's screen test wasn't that bad. Yeah, let's just bring it back in. It was okay.
John Wayne Gacy Jr., that's like the cartoon adaptation of the story that they made.
Yeah.
Hot on the heels of James Bond Jr.
Yeah, where he's got all kinds of gadgets and shit.
Exactly.
And he goes to high school and it keeps getting in the way of him, I don't know, what, murdering people?
Yeah.
What's he doing the show?
Yeah.
He's still killing people.
Yeah.
I mean, if Dexter can have this prequel show that's out now, John Wayne Gacy can have one too.
The fifth fucking version of the new Dexter? God damn it. Thing.
We're not stopping it.
Well, because we did that continuation, and now this is like a prequel.
I stopped after the laboratory, Dexter's laboratory.
Yeah, that's right.
Much better early
days.
Finally pronouncing
it. Eric, you were like, "Oh, live action." I don't think so.
Yeah, only Dexter I care about is Daxter Jetster, and he runs a whatever on Coruscant.
Yeah, the space diner, of course. Yes. Love that dude, big fat slob.
He's got a mustache.
Yes. I'll say for Steve, Dexter does have one season of absolutely ludicrous John Lithgow acting.
I'll take
some of the best you will ever see.
Raising Kane level.
He's like He's like a competing serial killer or something.
It's always he's always the villain is always a killer that he's
tracking.
I think was it Ray Stevens who recently passed?
Ray Stevenson, yeah, he passed.
Yeah, yeah,
last year,
he
year.
Had a good season where he did it as well.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's too interesting.
Horrible show. Horrible show, but good.
Kip Devin ever show up on the Dexter or no?
Oh yeah, the return of evil. But
that actually would have been awesome, by the way. If Dexter had a season where the villain was like a fucking nerdy 80s slasher with like a stupid
Oh, totally. I would have loved that. That would have been great.
Oh. See, that would get me to watch Dexter. That's what would have done it right there. But that is gonna do it right here for this episode on New Year's Evil, because there ain't no more movie. It's a trim one at like 80 some odd minutes here, but we'll go around the horn for some final thoughts and possible recommendations. Stuart, you're our guest today. We'll start with you, man.
Oh, geez. Let's see. I would say I thought this movie was slight and it felt kind of rushed. I'm a sucker for this kind of garbage 80s slasher, and it was like clearly like a how can we capitalize on Halloween as quickly as possible, which I'm surprised they didn't crank this one out even faster. But but they had to release it in December because it's right before New Year's Eve. I feel like there's some fun moments. If you're a fan of this type of thing, this might be worth tracking down. Also, if you like a cheesy punk, whatever, like punk soundtrack, it's pretty fun. And for recommendations, as always, I recommend one movie called Frankie Freako because my voice is in it and it's awesome. Yeah. It just came out.
There it is. Hell yeah, dude. While we got you on that, Stuart, you know, you got the mic, man. Plug whatever you got going on. This is coming out next week on New Year's Eve. So if the bar is doing something, you know, plug away whatever you got.
Sure, yeah. So I currently own three bars in Brooklyn, New York. Hinterlands Bar, Minnie's Bar, and Commonwealth Bar, all in Brooklyn. Come check them out. There's going to be stuff going on. Please hit them up. And then if you want to hear more of my voice talking about silly stuff, check out the Flophouse podcast, yes, wherever you find podcasts.
The long blood feud is over. That's it. Now we're all... People are still fighting in the streets, and I know they have been, like, a bunch of nerds stabbing each other over Flophouse. No, we have... It has to end. And
yeah,
that was
we've
the
been.
Point of
I
this.
Mean, we've been doing concurrent bad movie shows for a really long time, right,
yes,
guys?
Yeah. A really long time.
Tell that listener in the cave, the war is over. Stop. Stop.
I've been telling all the Jets boys to stop their shit. Yeah. Go back home. Stop dancing in the street all day.
Yeah. The Sharks. I'm like, kill them. Get them.
Eric Siska, final thoughts on New Year's Evil.
I, you know, like Stuart, I think this is, it's a fun, I love 80s slashers, so this always, you know, I always find something to like about these movies. The first time I saw this, I thought it was too thin and I was a little bored with it, but I was probably putting pantyhose over my head doing pills. Now that I watched it and paid attention to it, I had a really good time with it this go. So definitely check it out if you like that slasher stuff, that 80s cheese borderline stuff. Check it out.
Heck yeah. Christopher Cabin,
A very light recommend. I wish we got a little bit more blood. I wish we got a little bit more, you know, as we've been saying, like a little bit more world building, even for slashers like Halloween. You know, the town, you have a sense of it. Even with cheap knockoffs, there usually is some movement to try to let you know how the world breathes around them. And this, you know, you just assume because it's a city, you're like, oh, well, it's just city life. And that works enough to make the thing work. The middle kill with the two ladies, I think, is really well done. Yeah. I love the little scene with in the liquor store where the guy like just says something freaky to her. And he's like, oh, OK, bye. That's it. light recommend.
Steven,
I think it's a recommend for me. I'm with Eric. I'm a real easy sell with these guys. I really like the soundtrack. I would have liked some more inventive kills, some more bloody kills, some more, you know, some like kind of interesting gore effects. That's what brings me here. But I do kind of like the bullshit bad psychology here. I also enjoy the punk stuff is really cool. I kind of wonder, actually, do you think Decline of Western Civilization still comes out if this happens in the real Los Angeles punk scene? Or or maybe maybe they're all exes just talking like, yeah, we couldn't get booked after New Year's Evil, dude. That was it. They were just all the clubs just fucking closed up.
Ice just right out of Los Angeles, man.
very depressing documentary to come out about that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No. I'd recommend this. I think it's a nice little change of pace, like just riding along with Mr. Evil the whole time. And yeah, not only am I a sucker for slasher movies from the 80s, the holiday slashers are just like some of the most fun knockoff garbagey things. So I sort of put it all in with that. So yeah, if you know. I don't think you should be watching this on New Year's Eve. If you're having a night in, sure, but maybe the next day or something, or this weekend, maybe watch New Year's Evil.
When you were mentioning holiday slashers, like I love, have you guys seen Blood Rage, the Thanksgiving slasher that's Chicago-y?
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's another, that's like the, outside of obviously Halloween, I feel like Blood Rage is the like pinnacle of that thing.
Oh, I'm going to have to get on that. I'm completely ignorant to Blood Rage.
It's this weird 80s one. Everybody's drinking Old Style and shit. It's great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, from 87. Oh, with Louise Lasser. All right. Okay. Well, that is going to do it for this New Year's Evil here, of course. But let's just say, first of all, if you're listening to this and you had commercials in it, well, hey, if you don't want those commercials there, head over to the Patreon, patreon.com/WeHateMovies, where every new episode of We Hate Movies that comes out is indeed on there ad free. You don't have to worry about any commercials whatsoever. But the cool thing is, once you're there, we also have a ton of other extra bonus shows that we put out every month on the Patreon for listeners to check out, including We Love Movies, which we did way earlier this month, the top of December, all about Lethal Weapon 2, which was a lot of fun.
Diplomatic Immunity. Yes.
Let me mention a show we kind of sometimes forget to plug. We have so many shows we forget to plug them. The Nexus, we do a Star Trek recap show. We've done the entirety of the original series. We are deep into TNG. We are doing it alongside the animated series, Star Trek, the animated series from the 60s. And it's a lot of fun.
We just hit a milestone. You want to say the milestone?
Yes.
This month.
Episode 100 just came out. So there's 100 Star Trek recaps, and that's double, right? So that's 200 episodes.
Yes,
with that,
you're doing a lot of driving around this time. Perfect for any road trip.
Yes,
exactly.
And not perfect for a road trip because it'd make you throw up. We just did an episode on Animation Damnation on the Little Drummer Boy, which is disgusting, and nobody should watch it.
Vile stop motion Rankin and Bass. Yep,
terrible thing. Stuff. And much better to look at is Eric Roberts, who does a whole 2 minutes of screen time the latest Once in a Lifetime. We are talking, it's beginning to look a lot like Murder.
Oh, no, not Murder.
Murder. Oh, sorry, yes. Steve, it is. Oh,
yeah, it is.
Great
it is.
Title. Great title. Maybe not a great movie, but this is a sideshow we do at the top tier. That's the 23rd Lifetime movie we've covered on that feed.
Oh. Wild.
So check it out.
We will be hitting 100 one day.
Also on that top tier, we always get Melrose 210 as our top tier sideshow about Melrose Place and Beverly Hills 90210. This month was a total banger. Really fun episode on both pieces. I believe we had some street racing and we had some crazy Melrose shit going on.
Including Sydney getting sent to the booby hatch by her own sister and
that's
father.
That's right. Yes,
there's heartbreaking stuff on there to match with the Fast and Furious stuff.
Yeah, Steve Sanders and Brandon gambling on illegal drag racing, of course.
And we also have a syncable commentary that is out now on Ang Lee's Hulk, which is a really fun 2 hours, some odd minutes we hang out with it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
If you're bumming around the house playing TV catch-up right now in that nether space of the holidays, we've recapped all of The Penguin and all of X-Men 97 as well. Just check out our website for all
X-Men 97 might be my favorite show of the year. It's
nice.
So
it's real good, man. Yes. I honestly think my favorite show of the year was Penguin, funny enough. But yeah, all of that and so much more over on our Patreon, patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Now, Steve Sadak, the show will continue in 2025, which shockingly is just next year. Or next week, rather, I should say. Next year is next week. There it is.
Yes.
And what on Tuesday will we be talking about then?
Well, it's so weird because I could see the future, much like the titular character of Madam Web.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we are getting into the month. you know, some of the worst and some of the meh and some of the eh last year.
We should mention like this January, it's stuff that's fun to talk about. Not everything we're going to select is something we think is literally the worst thing of the year. Yeah. If we were doing that, we would be doing nothing but Mark Wahlberg movies, and you don't want that.
And or like Christian nationalist films that we're just not going to just get into all that shit. Right.
Exactly. But make no mistake about it, Madam Web is one of the worst movies. We're starting out with a real banger.
You don't want to see me talk about that Zachary Levi Purple Crayon movie.
Oh, dude. I'll tell you, really want that? Purple Crayon, Zachary.
Right up there. Right up the chute.
So there you go. Next year, the show continues. We should say also, like, thanks a lot for tuning in for another entire year. Yes. You know, whether you're a patron or you're just tuning in on the commercial feed, we love that you're here. We love that you're still sticking around. And we love making the shows for you. And guess what? 2025 is going to be no different. So until next year with Madam Web, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Stuart Wellington.
Take it easy.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.